Welcome to Picks with the Professor, the show where a real statistics professor gives you sports betting tips. This is the show for Saturday, April 13th. Getting this one out there to you pretty early. Not a single Friday game has started yet. So either while you're watching, if you want to have this in the background of Friday night or later in the night or early Saturday morning, hopefully you get some good information here about these baseball games. Folks, remember, if you're enjoying the show, if we're helping you make money or at least be entertained, we would appreciate it if you check us out over on Dub Club. You can get a free 2-day trial to see if it's worth it, but we give you a ton of extra information, summaries, model outputs. We have our Discord chat access through that, which is a lot of fun. People helping people out, talking about boosts and how to use them and just different advice on different sports things we don't even cover. So a lot of great stuff over there as well. First five run lines, all sorts of total and weather information and updates. Check that out if you haven't yet. That link in the show description or the QR code will get you started out with a trial to see if it's worth your while. But before we get to the game, some quick reminders here. If you're interested in information about the model or the community rules, pickswiththeprofessor.com/new is the place to go. We are projecting an average game. We do not know what will happen in one game, unfortunately. And that sometimes leads us to things like Thursday, where we just take a big swing and a miss. And some of the games we were close, we had the right idea. And some of the games we weren't. And you know, we talk about all the time, in college basketball, we talk about how, you know, a team plays 30 games in a season and five of them, they're going to look really good and five of them, they're going to look really terrible and you're going to be nowhere near it. There's no way you can predict that. And that same sort of thing happens in baseball as well. It's not the same numbers, but there's just times when a team doesn't show up and bad things happen and good teams lose and bad teams win. You know, we just never know. The model's updating to what it's seeing. Hunter Brown, for example, his rating went from like a 93 to a 101, I believe, after the first inning shellacking he got from the Royals. And so, I mean, we're updating. We're just trying to give the best, probabilities that we can going forward. Because remember, everything is based off of probability. There are no, this team can win, this team can't win, this team will win, this team won't win, right? That's not at all the way this works. Anybody can win on any given day. The talent discrepancy is not so drastic. If you put any of these major league teams up against high school team, you'd say, yeah, they will win, right? But that's not the way it works in professional sports. All of these teams have somewhere between probably 30 and 70-ish percent chance to win. The really extreme ones get outside of that, but not by much. And so the idea is if they were to play a 10-game series, one team would win three or four, five, six, seven times, and the other team would win the other number of times, of course. We are trying to assess that probability as best we can. And that's what helps us calibrate to know what prices to take. Any bet is a good bet at the right price, the right number. Now, we may disagree at what the right number is, and that's totally fine. But we all have to agree there is a number or a price where everything should be played. Now, you may not get it. And we're going to talk about some games here we're going to pass on because we don't think that number's out there, at least as of now. But that's kind of our mindset. As we're going through this, we are recording this about 24 hours for games. Some of these a little bit less, some of these a little more, depending on if it's night or day game. But the weather info can change. I'll kind of briefly go through that here. Updates, of course, on Dub Club in the morning about the weather and how that's going to impact each one of these games, especially with regards to wind and wind direction. But as always, there are no locks in gambling. The A grades are not locks. They are just the best value. We want to put a little bit more on them because in the long run, they're going to be what slowly drives our bankroll at a faster rate than anything else. As up and down as the season has been, and it's been more down than up. It's not been a fun start to the season at all. We know it'll bounce back. That doesn't make it any more fun, but the A-grade sides are still positive. And that's just, again, going back to what we're always talking about. Those A-grades are the best value, but each individual game, we don't know what's going to happen. So that doesn't mean we blindly bet anything. It doesn't mean we blindly reject anything either. It's always, though, take what you like and leave the rest. Don't bet something if you don't like it. It's your money. It's be your investment. You need to be happy with it. If I don't talk into it, then that's fine. But you got to make sure you like it before you bet it. But we like it when you like the show. It helps other people find us and stay in business, which is a good thing for your continued entertainment of watching this show. And hopefully improvement as a sports bettor. As a professor, I like to help people out. I like to teach people things. Hopefully you're learning some stuff and you are enjoying getting this information that I'm giving to you, hopefully as good as possible. We have a new look for the slides today. Hopefully you like them, people. We're going to start off with 1:10 p.m. Eastern, Twins and Tigers game one of a doubleheader because Thursday's game was postponed. We probably will get Friday's game in. Recorded this in the afternoon. The weather's not going to be great, so I don't know. Just cross your fingers on that. If that game gets postponed, all of this gets thrown into chaos. I don't know what they're going to do with who's pitching what. So if for whatever reason you're watching this and you already know Friday's game, if for whatever reason it's not happening, got to be really careful about who's pitching what game. Assuming Friday's game does happen, Saturday game one will be Joe Ryan and Kenta Maeda. Two fairly solid pitchers, as you can see, according to sideline there. Sorry, one fairly solid pitcher in Joe Ryan. Kenta Maeda, at this point, I think probably passes prime. You can see there on that third row there, Joe Ryan gets an 85 grade. That ranks him number 36 in the starting pitcher database. Kenta Maeda, on the other hand, a 109 rating ranks him number 206. Maeda on his two starts this season, 9 ERA, 9.55 FIP. So it's not like it's just been some bad luck. That's where the Twins have a huge edge here is Joe Ryan, who's got a 3.18 ERA on the season. Short season, of course, but the underlying metric support. And he's been a guy we've liked to back when he's been healthy. He's been pretty solid, pretty underrated. Twins bullpen, combining the overall bullpen with the top-rated bullpen to come up with this grade. It's basically a weighted average to the top guys because they matter more, but not ignoring the depth of the bullpen, just kind of trying to summarize it to one number for us. Twins bullpen better than Tigers. Not that the Tigers bullpen's bad by any stretch of the imagination. It's just a small disadvantage for them there, but they also have a disadvantage on offense, of course, as you can see on screen there. Neither one of these offenses is very good. Number 21 for the Twins, number 25 for the Tigers. So weak offenses, decent bullpens, chilly day, mid-50s, but the wind will be blowing out about 15 to 20 miles an hour, so that should make it play maybe a little bit more hitter-friendly than normally it would in Detroit because while the temperature is not going to help things out, that wind blowing out is going to help maybe get an extra, a fly ball out into a double into a homer. On this one, we are going to be on the Twins at minus 118. It's an A grade. Pick the model says they win 57% of the time. That makes the, according to the model, what the correct price should be. No juice involved. Minus 133. Minus 120 gets us to an A grade. Minus 118 is the current price. So just ekes into the A grade. It's pretty straightforward there. Biggest edge in this one's the starting pitcher. But when you get beyond that, Twins offense probably just a little bit better. Twins bullpen probably just a little bit better. They're on the road, but they have a big edge on at starting pitcher, small edge of a roll, minus 118 is a pretty good price for this. So locked us in an A grade there on the first play of the day. 1:40 p.m. Eastern, Royals and the Mets. This will be Alec Marsh and Sean Manaea. Folks, I have a fun Sean Manaea story for you. It is this. Last season, Manaea started pitching better. And we actually backed him a few times towards the end of the season as he really like turned things around and kind of found his form from 2-3 years ago now. I can't remember how long ago it was when he was actually good. And started pitching better out of the pen as they kind of tweaked some things around from him in San Francisco. So at the start of the season, on the eve before he pitches his first game of the season, I'm going to pick him up on my dynasty team. I pick him up. I forget to start him. He has a great start. I don't start him a second start. He has a great start. I'm starting him here tomorrow. So I don't know. Hold your breath, people. but he's been fantastic for these first two starts. Finding his previous form, just improving on what he did last year. Sub one ERA, sub 2.5 FIP. Really no complaints about him. The model gives him an above average grade, ranks him better than Alec Marsh. Not that Marsh is a bad pitcher, though. A 3.09 ERA in the season and promising advanced metrics, too. So this is a battle of two pitchers that I'm not sure people would think of as good starting pitching, but you kind of have to be impressed with what they've done so far. Now, bullpen-wise, of course, the Mets have the edge. Offensively, that gap is closing. And interestingly enough there, and you can kind of see it on screen, the Royals' offensive ranks number 20 going forward, not 20 what they've done this season. They've been really good this season. The Mets at number 13. But that's a really small gap. There's a lot of teams clustered in the middle there, and it would not take very many more games the way the Royals have been hitting the ball for them to all of a sudden jump from like number 20 to number 10. It's just like we talk about in every single sport. At the tails, there's a much bigger gap. But in the middle, you can jump teams in a hurry. So far, this Royals offense has been very good. It's what we constantly talk about at the start of any season. How fast do we react? And all we can do is say, take the average amount that we should react, right? We should not overreact. We should not underreact on average. Unfortunately, some cases should be reacted to quicker than others. The issue is until we have hindsight, we don't really know which ones are which because many times we overreact and we look back and we say, man, that was just a hot start. Many times we underreact and we say, man, we just took too long to come around, right? So what we do here is we split the difference and try to find the average reaction. And that's what has the Royal Steel here just on the south side of average going forward. But again, so far this season, who knows how Friday's game is gone, of course, entering Friday. They have been on the north side of average, absolutely. We'll see if that continues. If it does, their rating will continue to improve. It's just, it's not like it's an exact science, and we don't necessarily want to overreact. And if you overreact to this Royals team, there's cases where that's going to make you look really smart and cases where it's going to make you look really dumb. It's just kind of the way it goes. This should be a very interesting ball game here with the Mets, obviously, starting off up and down, to say the least. The Royals starting off hot. Interesting series here. Mets, according to Sideline, would win this game 59% of the time, making the correct price minus 147. Folks, that is pretty smack in the middle of what I'm seeing right now based off the price. You'd have to lay a price more than minus 147 right now on the Mets, and you would not even get a price as good as plus 147 on the Royals. So on the side, as of right now, I think it's priced really well. We'll see what happens Friday based off Friday's game and the update. Something may change. But at least as of right now, the Mets are favored. They have slight edges everywhere, a little bit bigger edge here on the bullpen. Maybe offense, maybe we'll call it even if that's the case. But Manaea, I trust a little bit more than Marsh. I trust the Mets bullpen a little more than Mets are at home. They are favored. Right now, they're favored by too much to back. But the Royals, I'm just not sure the price is right to back them. Weather-wise, another day, and a lot of the Friday games are like this, but another game that is going to be pretty hitter friendly. It's going to be about 50 degrees, so the temperature isn't going to make the ball fly, but we're going to have a wind out to right field 15 to 20 miles an hour. So at least as of right now, slightly more friendly to the hitters based off of this wind than the temperature. Reds and the White Sox, 2:10 p.m. Eastern, Nick Lodolo and Garrett Crochet and Lodolo. This will be his season debut. It's a 94 grade coming into the season. Garrett Crochet has been phenomenal. We've talked about it a couple times here on show. By far the best pitcher on this White Sox team. And given all the injuries to their offense, really the only thing left that you have to really like ranks number 18 in Major League Baseball right now. Two ERA, FIP and XFIP, both around 2.5. Just cannot say enough about what Garrett Crochet has done. Bullpen wise, I don't trust either one of these bullpens offensively. It is interesting here. The Reds offense at rank number 24 is not that far behind average. They kind of clump together, but they start falling off really quickly after that. And it's a long way down to where the White Sox is. So that's where the Reds will have, of course, an advantage in this game is on offense. But anytime you're going up against Garrett Crochet, you have to like that. The big X factor in this game, of course, is Nick Lodolo, exactly what he's going to be able to provide. You just never really know. First start of the season coming off of the injury and the rehab starts, you just never know. Sometimes the guys look great. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they struggle to get out of the third inning. Sometimes, they talk about having a pitch count, but they can cruise through six efficiently. And if anybody's going to cruise through six efficiently, you have to like your chances against the White Sox. So he's the big X factor. But as always, whether we like a player or not has to do with the price. The model says this is a wrong team favorite game, that the White Sox should be favored in this one, that they'd win 54% of the time, and that it should be minus 117. So we're getting the White Sox plus 120. This is a very strong A grade, folks. Really anything with plus odds, even money or better, it's an A grade on the White Sox. It is not a play for the faint of heart, but this White Sox team, you're starting to see the prices really get crazy on them. I don't love backing them. I want to make sure we're only backing them when there's great value, because they're going to lose a lot. So when we win, we better be winning a lot for them. It needs to be either great value or it needs to be Garrett Crochet, because he can single-handedly win this game for them. You might think about the first five market. That's never a bad idea, especially with Crochet, because you feel like he's probably going to get you five at minimum, and he can hang in that game, should hang him in the game with how well he's pitched. Other than the every once in a while this season, he's going to have a rough start, because no pitcher can go all 35 starts looking great. Here's the counter to that. The White Sox bullpen might actually be better than the Reds bullpen. So I'm not really sure you're gaining a lot on that first five, because things fall off fast from Crochet, but it's not like the Reds relievers are that much better. They've got, obviously Diaz is pretty solid at the back end, but they just don't have a lot of depth at reliever. They need their guys, their starters, to go 7-8 innings for you to feel really confident. Otherwise, you're seeing somebody in their pitch who's a journeyman past their prime, relied on good luck to have some good numbers. It ain't pretty. So we're going to go full game here, Agard, on the White Sox. I'm not dying to lock in numbers this far in advance unless the value's there. This is one of them. There's no reason not to just jump on the White Sox. They're going to win some games this year, not for the faint of heart, but pretty good value here in a wrong team favorite game. Remember on this one, this is mostly about the Reds being overvalued still and Garrett Crochet being a guy we want to take advantage of until people realize just how good he is. Weather-wise, we're talking mid to upper 60s wind, maybe out, maybe across, maybe shifting around, but maybe a little bit of wind help. Not the coolest day in the world, considering we're talking about a lot of temperatures in the 40s and 50s, so mid-upper 60s. This will probably play slightly more friendly to the hitters than anything else. So a chance for some runs there, more so than the average April game, at least. 3 or 7 p.m. Eastern, Rockies and the Blue Jays, mid-40s for this one, so projecting the roof closed. Dakota Hudson and Bowden Francis. Dakota Hudson's looked great for the Rockies so far. I mean, if he keeps pitching the way he's been pitching, that rating will trend back towards average in a hurry. 2.38 ERA on the season, sub-3 FIP. XFIP's a little bit higher, so there is some kind of discrepancy between the two main underlying metrics that we look at with regards to trying to predict future performance. So a little bit of a mixed bag. That's why his rating is not terrible, but it's maybe not quite as good as you might expect the guy who started off the season this good. And of course, he's been pretty mediocre for most of his career. Bowden Francis, on the other hand, though, just nothing to be excited about with his results so far. His FIP is above 8. Now, his XFIP's a lot lower. What that indicates to me is he's been pretty unlucky with regards to his home run to fly ball ratio. That's one of the main differences between the two calculations. Different people would argue different things about that home run to fly ball ratio. Some people would argue that it's completely random. Some people would argue that it's a function of maybe how hard you're getting hit, how many fly balls you're giving up, what park you're pitching in, which only changes for half your games. So there's, a little bit of a mixed bag on how you feel about that. But either way, the model projects Dakota Hudson as the much better starting pitcher here. So that's something to take note of. That's, of course, the only edge the Rockies will have. Offensively, they aren't good, especially on the road. Reliever-wise, they aren't good. I mean, there's really no reason to love the Rockies in general. The only issue, of course, is the price. And this is another game, just like Friday, and you're watching this, and maybe the game Friday's already happened. I mean, the Blue Jays should sweep this series if every game plays out like we think it would. But, I mean, yeah, under that mindset, the Rockies would go 0-82 on the road this year, 0-81 on the road, 0-81. Maybe they'd win a game or two when the right starting pitcher's going, when they're at the White Sox or the Nationals or whatever. But I mean, that's not the way it goes, right? We know they're going to win some games. So that's why we have to be price sensitive. And I'm preaching to the choir, I'm sure. But Friday's game is kind of like Rockies or pass because that price is just insane on the Blue Jays. Doesn't mean the Blue Jays don't win. It just means we have to look at this as, what if these teams played this exact game 10 times? What percentage of the time would they win? And does that make the price worth it? Because we're going to bet games like this 10 times throughout the season, and we want to make sure that we win the right amount of them. And I kind of feel the same thing about Saturday's game here. Like, yeah, the Blue Jays should win, but like, my goodness, this price. The model says it should be minus 157. The current price in the Jays I'm seeing, minus 175. Like, there's no way you could get me excited about that. Rockies right now, you can get them for plus 160. That's not enough value for me to take the Rockies on the road. The model is digging the Rockies a little bit for being on the road because they are the only team in baseball that suffers a bigger home road split than a statistically different road split than average. So this is one where the Rockies on the road, I mean, might play them first five if I'm going to play them to avoid that bullpen. But full game, I'm not excited about it. So we'll see if there's an edge here in the morning on the first five market. If the price goes up enough, it'll be worth it. But for now, we're going to hold off on the side. It's Rockies or pass, at least the current price for the full game I'm passing. But that doesn't mean we'll pass tomorrow. Doesn't mean we'll pass in the 4-5. Maybe we'll, maybe we won't. Dub Club is the place to be for all of those updates. 4.05 p.m. Eastern, and I have a handful of games here at this 4 o'clock slot. If my math is correct, it's, 8. We're going to start with the Pirates and the Phillies. Around 50 degrees for this one. Wind blowing slightly in. So one of the few pitcher-friendly spots here of the day. Biggest question this wind, and it'll be 10 to 20 miles an hour. So starting off, it's going to be fairly strong. As the sun starts to go down, it'll die down. That's kind of the way the world works, it seems like. Biggest question is it in? Is it across? Right now, 24 hours for a first pitch. Looks like it's going to be tweener. All right, so let's check in the morning and see. Again, Dub Club, I give you all these updates so that you don't have to look for it yourself or look for it yourself if you're not with us on Dub Club, but just check that weather. Could be very pitcher-friendly, could be more a crosswind, and then it's still going to be slightly pitcher-friendly, 50-degree weather, but not quite as much as if that wind's blowing in it, especially starting off 20 miles an hour. So kind of an asterisk there on the weather. Relievers, both these relievers, look at this, number five, number six, two solid sets of relievers, offensively fairly close. The model likes what the Pirates have done on offense this season, but as I've mentioned earlier, there is no statistical difference between these offenses according to Sideline. They're both very okay. Any one game, one can look better than the other. They're both okay. The Phillies obviously have some guys at the top. They don't have a lot of depth. The Pirates have had some depth and looked good. But, I mean, we saw last year the Pirates' offense just have a massive spell where they disappeared. If that starts happening again, that ranking's going to go down. So offenses, a wash. Bullpens, a wash. Pitchers, Spencer Turnbull's the guy I talked about last time. Love this guy. 88 grade, not allowed an earned run all season. FIP of 140, xFIP 219. He's looked great. Okay, love backing Spencer Turnbull at this point. Marco Gonzalez has been pretty solid himself. 245 ERA, 267 FIP, xFIP higher though, and historically we have a lot of data on Marco Gonzalez. I think he's going to be average at best. The model is not even that high on him. I think the Phillies have a pretty big edge here at starting pitcher. The Sideline model here gives them about a standard deviation half, almost two standard deviation edges. And that's where the big edge comes in on the Phillies. The model says they win 61% of the time. That makes the correct price, according to the model. Again, minus 154, minus 139 A-grade threshold. So minus 142 is what we can get right now. Makes it a high B-grade pick. Not quite to that A-grade threshold, but fairly close. This is one where it's close enough to an A grade that I don't think there's a reason not to lock it in. Historically, who knows, a long game. Historically speaking, favorites have just gotten bet up as you get closer and closer to game time. Do not know what this number will do tonight and into tomorrow morning. But if you're sitting here on Saturday morning, I don't think you're going to get a better price into the day Saturday. Historically, that's been the way it goes. So I'm not going to wait for the A grade. It's only 3 cents. I'm just going to lock in minus 142. I want to back Spencer Turnbull. I want to fade Marco Gonzalez because I know he's looked good in his two starts, but the model's telling us there's a big starting pitcher edge here on Spencer Turnbull that we want to take advantage of. But as always, folks, make sure you're shopping around. We're 3 cents away from an A-grade price here, but if you're having three or four different books you can look at prices on, you may be able to sneak in one of them. If you don't have an account with them yet, BetUS is a place to be. Get 125% bonus on your first ever three deposits.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
Astros and Rangers. I would really love to see how Friday's game goes before I really talk about Saturday's game, simply because that bullpen is just in shambles and they've got to figure out. I don't know if they're going to shuttle someone up from Triple. I think they got two more guys on the 40-man roster that aren't up there yet, but they're almost out of guys even on the 40-man, and you don't want to mess around with that. But I mean, the way that they've had two starting pitchers now in the last couple days not even make it out of the first inning, not ideal to say the least. So the bullpen is a concern. Friday's game is a concern because if JP France isn't going deep, wears out the bullpen even more, that's going to keep trickling in until the Astros have an off day. And I think they play like 20 games in their first 21 days. So it's not like they got a lot of off days here early on in April. That said, Renato Blanco is legit, and I do not think that the model can account for how good he is. As I mentioned before, we have to try to adjust appropriately. And I'm not able to know if you should adjust faster or slower per person. So the model just adjusts everyone the same, at the same rate based off of how much data we have, et cetera. So if you have more data, it's going to adjust slower than you have more data, but it's formulaic. It's hard to have a model that adjusts differently for more factors, but this is one of those rare cases. Ronald Blanco is a different pitcher than he was last year based off that changeup. If you've seen any of his starts, if you heard about the no-hitter, you know about the changeup, his usage, how much better it's gotten, how much he's using it, blah, 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 blah. You already know all that. If you don't, baseball things. It's the too long, don't read version. He's a better pitcher now. He's a different pitcher now. And the model gives him a 90 grade. He's probably more like an 85, maybe low 80s. I mean, he looks really good. How deep can he go in this game? TBD. That first game, obviously, he was able to go 9. Second game, his pitch count got up and went 6. But, I mean, 6 innings, 1 hit ball, you know, still pretty good, right? So, especially against a good Rangers offense, you can see they're ranked number 10. That's the biggest thing here. Bullpen-wise, both these bullpens still are okay. The Astros bullpen is just the big asterisk on this. We're going to lock in the Astros here at minus 147. It's a B-grade pick. I'm locking it in because I want to back Blanco at this point, because I don't think any of us that are modeling this, coming up with predictions that aren't just, we're not just eyeballing something, right? No one's just looking, you know, I mean, I guess you can do whatever you want, right? But none of us that are part of the analytics community, part of any community that's betting big amount of dollars, right? Or not just eyeballing this and just saying, Astros 58%. We're not just coming up with numbers, right? We have to have a way to get to the number. And it's hard to do that with a guy like Blanco. He's one of the rare cases that when something like this massively changes with who you are, I just don't think we're able to do it fast enough. So I think his underlying metrics are strong. I love the changeup usage. I think he's the much better pitcher in this one. Andrew Heaney's a guy I've never been high on for the Rangers. ERA in the mid-7s, underlying metrics have it maybe around 5. I mean, it's still not good. The Astros hit lefties well. They're a very good left-handed team. In Houston, minus 147. We're not to the A grade. That threshold's minus 141, but the price should be minus 157, so we're getting some good value on this. We're going to lock the Astros B grade, but asterisk on this one is just the bullpen usage. If things go better and their bullpens reset on Friday, or maybe if they get beat up but the right guys aren't being used, that kind of can change things. If JP France goes 2 innings and everybody's being used to getting in the Astros bullpen, this is the one situation right now where you're like, this bullpen usage is concerning, because I can't think of another team in baseball at this point who's had 2 pitchers not make it out of the first inning in the same week, and that trickle down effect of how that's going to affect everybody else. So a very unique situation here for a lot of reasons in this Astros game. Minus 147 is a pretty reasonable price, locking it in, but I mean, as Cousin Jared alluded to, as I've kind of alluded to, we are kind of holding our breath here with this Astros team. Their offense still ranks 3rd, according to Sideline. Their offense still has a lot of really good hitters. Their offense should come around. I like what I've seen from Jeremy Peña this year. Bregman, Yordan, Altuve, I mean, these guys are world-class hitters. Kyle Tucker. Diaz at the catcher spot is a massive improvement offensively over what they had have had in years past with Maldonado. They lose something defensively, of course. But so far, the Astros haven't looked great. The mindset I'm having with this is they're better than they've looked. I'm not going to overreact to a week. But as a week turns to 2, turns to 3, right, we will. For now, though, we're still early enough for the season. I like Blanco. I like the pitching matchup. Trust in the Astros offense. They should be favored by more than this. So minus 147, official B, great pick on the Astros. Brewers and the Orioles, mid-50s strong winds blowing across, as I mentioned, in whatever that game was, wherever they are. Philadelphia, right? The winds will be dying down as the game goes on, but we're talking about 20 to 25 an hour winds to start. Very windy in Baltimore. Right now, it's looking like it'll be a cross, so no real wind effect other than it might be fun to watch some high pop flies, hit towards the shortstop, be caught by the first baseman type thing. But right now, no wind effect. slightly pitcher-friendly atmosphere in Baltimore. Now that they moved the fence back, make it a little more pitcher-friendly with the fact that you have more right-handed hitters and left-handed hitters. The wind blowing across to right field is going to be a little bit more harmful to them because balls that would be home runs to left field are now going to be pushed to the power alley where it's deeper. Balls to the power alley where they're crushing are going to be pushed to center field where it's deeper. And again, mid 50 temperature, so slightly more pitcher friendly here overall for the overall atmosphere. DL Hall and Dean Kremer pitching in this one, a revenge game for DL Hall facing the team that just recently traded him. He's had some command issues and been very meh so far. The model still likes him overall, likes what it saw from him last year, but those underlying metrics and his ERA together aren't very good so far. So there's the big asterisk there. Based off of what I've seen from Hall, if it wasn't facing his former team, I would say I think the downside for Hall is larger than his upside right now based off where his rating is. What I mean by that is the model's still giving him a 93, but I think when we talk about error bars, especially with young pitchers where they're fairly wide, Hall's best case scenario today, not where he can be in 5 years, right, or 3 years or whatever, his best case scenario today is probably like an 85. Like, I don't really think there's much ways better than that, but his downside's probably more like a 115. So I think his downside's bigger. So that's a concern for backing the Brewers in this case, that I think he's got more room to fall apart than be great. The asterisk on all this is facing your former team. That throws everything out of whack because, you know, sports can be kind of mental, your motivation, et cetera. Like, he's pitched in that park before. Like, I don't know what that's going to do. It's just going to add a whole nother wrinkle to it. Dean Kremer so far, two starts, looked great. Underlying metrics, not as positive as the ERA, but still fairly solid. Model says he's an above average pitcher. Again, all these metrics on screen, you can see. I'm not going to read them all to you because if you're with us on YouTube, you can read. And if you're not, it's because you don't want to read. So that's up to you, I guess. Relievers, of course, the Orioles have been talking about them all season, how I like them. The Brewers bullpen's not bad, but the Orioles have the edge. At the bullpen, the Orioles have the edge on offense. They're at home. They're favored. They should be favored. The issue is, should they be favored by as much as they are? The model says no. The model says maybe a tiny bit of value on the Brewers at the current price of plus 129, that the price should be plus 126. But that A grade threshold at plus 145 is really far away from the current price. So no pick on this officially. Deal whole revenge game aside, I would say Orioles or pass. If there's a little bit of value on the Brewers, just pass on the side, focus on the total. I don't know what to make of that though. So I'm still going to say pass on the side and focus on the total. Nats and the A's still in the 4 o'clock time slot here, mid 50s in Oakland. Wind blowing across, going to be a little bit more pitcher friendly than normal there based off of the slightly lower temperature. Counter to that, though, of course, daytime sun out, ball carries maybe just a little bit there. So a little bit more pitcher friendly, but maybe not quite as much as you would think from the mid 50 degree temperatures. Again, as always, though, we're 24 hours out, so the wind could shift around and that would change things. Joe Boyle for the A's versus Mackenzie Gore. The Nats are going to have a pretty big edge here at pitcher. Mackenzie Gore is very solid, respectable. I mean, at least so far, you know, not turning into a Cy Young Award winner, but doing a very respectable job. So far, ERA around 4, underlying metrics just below that. Very solid pitcher. Joe Boyle, on the other hand, 8.22 ERA. The advanced metrics say it shouldn't be that bad, but make no bones about it. The Nats have the edge here at starting pitcher. I don't trust either set of relievers, and of course, the A's are the big asterisk where, honestly, people, I'm going to say this now, I might try to say it again later on, I would not be betting the A's this early in the day. It's middle of the day Friday until they've played the day before, because I want to see if Mason Miller's pitched. I want to see if he's pitched, how many pitches he's thrown. I want to see if he's thrown 2 days in a row. FanGraphs has that information. You can go to the roster resource on FanGraphs. It'll show you how many pitches each pitcher's thrown and when. Mason Miller's like, honestly, the most important reliever in baseball. And I don't, probably Kopech probably as well. And that's not to say that there are better relievers. There are better relievers than those two guys. But those two guys are by far the best relievers on their team that have already been used for multiple innings at a time this year. And if you take those guys off the team because the night before was a close game, their reliever situation gets way different. The Nats relievers aren't that good, but they don't have that like one standout guy like that. So something to keep in mind with the White Sox and the A's, both Kopech and Mason Miller, see how they've been used. Don't bet them on or against them really until you've seen the game the night before, because that should really affect your opinion by an extra 1 or 2 percentage points on one probability, because how important those guys are. Offensively, meh. Not a lot to talk about here. Nats are a little bit better against lefties. That shortens the gap. I mean, neither one of these offenses is truly abysmal. Neither one of them is very good. No pick on the side for now. Model says the Nats win 52% of the time and that the price should be minus 108. The issue with that, of course, is the current price is minus 119. You might get the tiniest bit of value on the A's at plus 109. I am not running to bet the A's at plus 109, knowing that plus 108 is what the model says. Waiting for the run line, waiting to see the plus one, waiting to see the first five. I have no qualms backing the A's. As I've said all season long, I think they are probably better than people think. People are thinking about that team last year. This team is better than that team. They might trade every single player on their team for washing machine parts. I have no idea what they're going to do later, but right now this team isn't bad. But I'm just not running to bet 1 cent of value. Let's just be patient on this one. We'll have an update on Dub Club. Maybe we'll find some better value in a run line, as this team's been doing really well against the run line, including against the Rangers, which kudos to them. That surprised me. And maybe a first five play makes a lot of sense here. Maybe this one would make a little bit less sense for a first five because they're at a disadvantage, but just want to see all the options first before we bet this one. But right now I would be leaning A's, but like I said, no rush to lock anything in right now. Braves and the Marlins. I always project the stadium maybe to be closed. I saw them open it up for a couple games here in April, but I noticed last year in September, there were some really nice days. It was closed all the time. Maybe it's more humid in September. I don't know. Someone from Miami, if you know these things, let me know. But I'm just like always assume it's closed because it's always humid in Miami. So maybe it'll be open. I don't know. But I just project it closed. I don't even care what the temperature is. I just project it closed. I've seen it closed when I thought it should be open. Chris Sale and Max Meyer. Sale, obviously the better pitcher, looking pretty strong again, like he's refound his old form. Low 3 ERA, underlying metrics in the twos, only 2 starts, but I mean, pretty solid little outing or start to the season here for Chris Sale. Max Meyer also looked pretty good with regards to the ERA. And again, we're really early in the season. I know I've said this a lot, but I'm not going to overreact to 2 starts. We're getting to the point once we're 4, 5, 6 starts in where we'll start taking this a little bit more seriously. But just do take note, the underlying metrics suggest that his ERA should be a lot higher than it is. So maybe not a guy to buy into just yet. Doesn't mean sell, but maybe don't buy yet on Max Meyer, because at least just so far in his 11 innings, I'm just not sure that 245 ERA is sustainable. You don't assume it's sustainable against the Braves, who have, according to Seddon, the second best offense, not too far behind the Dodgers. Of course, they have the best bullpen. This Braves team is a juggernaut. The only concern with the Braves is the fact that their 2 starting pitchers are now hurt, and we'll see how Friday went, but so far, terrible. Having Sale and Charlie Morton behind him help Sale, according to Seddon, the 19th best starting pitcher right now. What a luxury to have him as your third best pitcher. This should obviously be a game where the Braves are favored in. As always, though, is there enough value on them? Model says the price should be minus 196. They win 66% of the time. The current price is minus 190, so a little bit of value on the Braves. I want to see the run line market first. No pick on this one. The way I am coding sideline for now is let's stay away from favorites that are bigger than minus 150, and let's either play them on the -1 or the -1.5, depending on which offers more value. So that's what would happen here. I think the Braves are a strong pick. The models really like the Braves. I think this team is good. I think people maybe don't realize that this is a very good Chris Sale. They have the best bullpen in baseball. They might have the best offense in baseball. If not, it's obviously the Dodgers. Really good team here, but I want to play -1.5 or -1 rather than lay -196. Why is that? As I've always said, there is nothing that says that minus 196 can't, or minus 190, sorry, the price should be minus 196. There's nothing that minus 190 can't be valuable to us. It's just that the further away you get from even money, 50-50, the variance increases. This is just a property of the binomial distribution. So I like to play in smaller variance. Why is that? Baseball already has enough variance. We've seen it so far this week where every day is like, we win like every pick or we lose every pick. Back and forth, who the heck knows what's going to happen, right? There's already enough variance in sports. I don't want to add more. So I want to keep our picks around 50-50, not because minus 190 is inherently evil. It's not. I just want to do everything I can to minimize what's already a high variance situation. So on the Braves at this point, probably run line or minus one, but we'll see what the prices are, what the official pick is in the morning. Still at the 4:10 p.m. Eastern slot, three more of these, Angels and the Red Sox. Upper 40s in Boston, wind will be blowing out at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Probably going to balance out. The wind at Fenway matters a little bit less than other parks because that park is just so weird anyway that we already see more runs kind of no matter what the wind's doing unless it's insanely strong. Slightly chilly, wind blowing out. It's a hitter-friendly park. There should be runs. It's pretty all, you know, pretty simple there. No line on this game because we are not sure exactly who the starting pitchers are going to be. It looks like Griffin Canning for the Angels, but the Red Sox, I think we're still a little bit unsure exactly how their rotation's going to shake out at this point. Fangraphs has Cooper Criswell, former Tampa Bay Ray, on there at a 108 grade. Going, the numbers you see on screen are reflective of if that is who starts. Griffin Canning for the Angels gets a 108 grade, but it hasn't been good so far this season for him. ERA near 9, FIP near 9, XFIP in the upper sixes. So he's going the wrong direction. The Angels' offense, though, good. But of course, they give it back at the bullpen. So there's a lot happening in this game. There's almost assuredly going to be an edge in a game like this. You just got to find it. And why do I say that? Because you very rarely have a game where you're going to have so much uncertainty with a guy like Griffin Canning. Do you believe that he's still mediocre, which is what we thought coming into the season, or do you think he's terrible, which is what he's looked his first two starts? What do you make of whatever the heck the Red Sox do pitching-wise? The Angels' bullpen, one of the worst in baseball. Angels' defense, one of the worst in baseball. Angels' offense, much better than the Red Sox offense. There's a lot of weird discrepancies and comparisons here. There's probably going to be an edge somewhere in this. There were some edges here on Friday. We'll see about Saturday. Cannot make a pick right now because there is no line out. But again, the numbers on screen there kind of show you where we are now. Morning update might change some of this based off what happens on Friday and based off of what exactly happens with the Red Sox starting pitcher. But for right now, the Red Sox, we'd have at 56%. So we'll just have to see what the actual number is when it comes out and if the Red Sox go a different direction with their pitching. Giants and the Rays. Obviously, this one is a dome. They can't open the roof on this one in Florida. Logan Webb and Ryan Papio. Logan Webb, number four starting pitcher in baseball. I think like DeGrom's number one and Strider's number two. So we're running out of people here at the top. Hopefully Logan Webb can stay healthy. Ryan Papio, pretty run-of-the-mill average pitcher. The Rays, though, will have an edge on offense and an edge at the bullpen. So, I mean, this one's all about Logan Webb. Another game that you're probably going to be thinking there is an edge on just based off of how you feel about Logan Webb. The model is not going to overweight starting pitching, but we have been on Logan Webb, I believe, every start he's made this season. We're going to back the Giants again at minus 105 as an A grade. The A grade threshold is minus 106. So we just eke into it, but the model says the price should be minus 119 and the Giants win this 54% of the time. Again, mainly because of Logan Webb, who has not been amazing this season, but his underlying metrics are just fine. And as the season progresses, I do expect that we eventually see the Logan Webb that we've seen in years past, who's a guy who can pretty consistently get you seven, maybe even eight innings, other than like when he plays the Dodgers, because it's hard to get that many innings against the Dodgers anyway. This Rays offense, very solid. but is fairly right-handed heavy. You saw in the previous slide against righties, they rank more around average. And so because of that, if Logan Webb can get into a groove, he should be able to go deep, control this game, and the Giants should be favored by more than they are. Minus 105 is an A-grade pick on the Giants. We've backed them probably more than any other team so far in baseball this year, and it's been a very mixed bag on that. Each time, though, there's been pretty good reasons as to why we've done it, whether it's worked or not. Sometimes it's been about fading the other team. Sometimes it's been about value on the number. Sometimes it's been about bullpen situations. We haven't been high on the Padres, so we backed the Giants a few times then. We weren't high on a couple of the Nats pitchers, so we backed them a couple times then. This one's really just about Logan Webb being one of the best pitchers in baseball. And again, knowing that sideline is not trying to overweight starting pitching, the fact that that's why this edge exists makes me think it's a pretty strong player. So Giants minus 105, A grade pick. And then our last 4 o'clock game, finally, Twins and Tigers game two. Of course, depending on exactly how long the first game takes, this is probably the 4 o'clock game that would more likely to start 4:30 or a little bit later. Already talked about these teams, so the only thing to talk about really now is the starting pitching. The weather looks pretty similar as the first game. Here we're looking at mid-50s, decent wind blowing out. It might die down as the game goes along and the sun sets, as again, that's a thing. So maybe a slightly less hitter-friendly environment as the game winds down. If you like the over, maybe the first five over might be smarter here because it's more likely to be pitcher-friendly as we wind down, especially with these bullpens that are both pretty solid. But pitching-wise, we've got Simeon Woods Richardson making his season debut for the Twins, 103 grade. Matt Manning for the Tigers gets a 109 grade. Manning looked really good in his first start, but the underlying metrics were not great. So that's why we're still only at a 109 on him. If he were to have pitched underlying metric-wise as good as the results were, and or if he were to do that again, right, that rating's going to come back down and we're going to start being a little bit more optimistic on him. Tigers have had a pretty solid start to the season, of course. If you're a Tigers fan, you have to be excited about that. I'm just not sure Matt Mannington finished the season with a zero ERA, if you know what I mean. Obviously, you won't, but if you just look at his FIP and XFIP, which are much more predictive indicators of where his ERA is going to go, he's much more likely, just based off that first start, to finish the season with an ERA, you know, more in the low fives. His projection right now is in the upper fours. So I'm not sure, as good as that first start was for Matt Manning, that, you know, he's the better starting pitcher here. Model gives the slight edge to Woods Richardson. This game, however, does not have confirmation on Woods Richardson, so we don't know exactly if that'll be him or not. If it's someone else, of course, we'll update Dub Club. So as mentioned here, no pick because there's no line to, we have no starting pitcher confirmed. But if it is these two guys, here are the metric, here's the number you're looking for. Again, join us on Dub Club and you get all this information fed to you so you don't have to hunt around for it. And we will update if needed. We'll have a pick if possible. If not, there you go. Another big question mark, Yankees and Guardians. This game postponed as I'm prepping for this show here on Friday. So we're going to have a doubleheader on Saturday. It looks like the first game is going to start at noon Eastern. And then the second game should remain here at 6:10. We don't know what's going to happen with any of the pitching. And so that's the big, I don't want to spend too much time here. I don't want to waste your time on this. We don't know what's going to happen with the pitching. This is set up, looking at these metrics, if it is Luis Gil versus Tristan McKenzie, if you trust that that's the matchup, if that turns out to be the matchup, here's what we're looking for in this game. If the two guys who are going to go Friday do indeed pitch Saturday afternoon, but sometimes teams switch stuff around. So who knows? If it is Gil and McKenzie, the model says straight coin toss. Two respectable starting pitchers. McKenzie hasn't looked great so far this season, but was good enough last year to still hang on to an average rating. Yankees obviously better on offense. Guardians, though, have a pretty strong bullpen, and the game in Cleveland balancing that out, so it would be a coin toss. But again, we might crisscross the starting pitchers. Who knows? So can't make any picks on anything Yankees-Guardians related until we know the starting pitchers. Again, Dub Club has all those updates. So the night games, the late night games, Cardinals and Diamondbacks, 8:10 p.m. Eastern. projecting the roof closed. Not really sure why. Seems like you could be open. We'll see. Low 80s to start, mid 70s to finish. Should be a nice night if they want to open the roof. So that'll be something to think about with regards to the total and how the ball flies there. With regards to the side, you have to like the Diamondbacks here at plus odds. The model gives them a 52% chance to win. The Cardinals have a really good bullpen, and the Cardinals have a better starting pitcher, but the Diamondbacks better offense by a decent bit at home, according to Sideline, should be slight favorites. This is Kyle Gibson and Ryan Nelson. Neither one of these guys has looked very good this year, but Gibson's underlying metrics are a little bit better. What he did the last couple of years is a little bit better. So again, slight edge to the Cardinals on the mound for the entire game. But with the game in Arizona and the Diamondbacks' offensive advantages, we've got this at 52% for the Diamondbacks, meaning the price should be minus 107. A grade's plus 105. So we're able to lock in plus 101 as a B grade, even money B grade as well. So if you're in that even money ballpark, Diamondbacks are a decent look. If you can get the plus 105, that's where your A grade value. Basically a game where we think the Diamondbacks should be slight favorites, but since they're slight dogs, we're back into our favorite situation, the WTF game, aka wrong team favored. Padres and the Dodgers, around 50 degrees for this one. Maybe some early rain in Los Angeles. I'm going to check out there. Probably going to play fairly pitcher-friendly night game in LA. That's cooler than normal. Again, in LA, we can sometimes see the temperature in the 90s later on in the season. But 50 degrees, no wind blowing out. The wind usually blows out there as well. So let's keep an eye on this with the rain situation. We don't see a lot of rain in Los Angeles. That could really affect what the wind does as well. So a lot of question marks on this weather, but at least for right now, we would say fairly pitcher-friendly weather. But again, 24 hours, more than 24 hours out now. We're 28 hours out from when I'm recording this. So don't want to run to lock anything in that's a total that's weather-related until at least we get to the morning and get a lot closer. Okay, so weather updates always on Dub Club. Otherwise, though, Matt Waldron versus Gavin Stone. Waldron's been fairly solid, 386 ERA, underlying metrics around three. Have to be pretty pleased with him if you roster him in fantasy or dynasty baseball. If you're a Padres fan, have to be pretty excited about that. Gavin Stone, terrible ERA, but the underlying metrics, fairly positive. XFIP below four, FIP below two. So I don't think there's any reason to panic here. Gavin Stone, according to Sideline, almost a full standard deviation better than Matt Waldron. And that's largely due to what we saw last year with these guys. Waldron being a young guy, fairly unproven. Maybe that's a bit high, but I think what we're trying to show from the model here with regards to these starting pitchers is don't just look at these ERAs and say Stone's ERA is 788, Waldron's is 386, the Padres for the better starting pitcher. It's kind of one of those not so fast. Like, it's a small sample size. Don't overreact yet. Like, we still think Stone's the better pitcher. Again, not that Waldron has been promising, but he's going to have to continue to keep doing that before we start really reacting to it. So we still like Stone as a better pitcher. Dodgers are the better relievers. Dodgers are the better offense. I mean, it's really not saying much there. According to the model, the Dodgers should win this 68% of the time and be favored by a price of minus 211. The current price is minus 185. That would be an A grade. We are not locking in an A grade now, though, as I mentioned earlier. In general, I think let's maybe just not play minus 150 or bigger, extra variance on those bigger odds. This is likely to be a play at minus one, but we need the run line out. There's no run lines out right now. So that's the benefit to listening to what I'm saying rather than just, you know, hopping through, right? As you can hear me say this, even though there's no official side pick right now, if you can get that minus one price for a reasonable amount, you are probably going to be in A grade territory. Again, the money line price is minus 185, would get you to A grade territory. We just need to make sure that the run line price is right. So I'm expecting a minus one A grade in the morning. If not a B grade, I'd be happy to play the Dodgers. I think there's value in the Dodgers here because the market is probably saying the gap between these pitchers is closer than the model thinks it is. And I think it's very possible that it is closer than the model thinks it is. But it goes back to what we're always saying of why we like the A grades, is that we have a little bit of wiggle room, even if it's off and all models are wrong, then we still think we have a plus expected value play. And so the Dodgers are probably a pretty good side to back here. Anytime we can back them, it makes a lot of sense. We just have to be cautious on the price because the Dodgers will not win 162 games or 100 and however many, you know, that they have left, right? They will lose some. So the minus one may be a way to take a little bit of the edge off with regards to the steep money line price. But we like the Dodgers here in this one. And wrapping us up, Cubs and Mariners. Chilly night in Seattle, around 50 degrees. Slight breeze blowing out. Should be fairly pitcher-friendly, as it mostly is in Seattle. Shota Imanaga. I don't know if I said that right. For the Cubs, Emerson Hancock for the Mariners. Massive edge to the Cubs in starting pitcher-wise. Starting pitcher-wise, Imanaga has been good. Very good in his two outings. Hasn't gone deep, but hasn't allowed an earned run yet. Fit below one, xFIP around three. But he's looking fantastic for the Cubs. If you're a Cubs fan, you have to be really pleased with what you've seen from him. The issue with the Cubs is their bullpen, not great. Offense has been pretty solid. They definitely need another reliever or two, though, at the back end of that bullpen. That's, of course, where the Mariners have a little bit of an edge. But unfortunately for them, with Emerson Hancock, you can't be that excited. The Mariners have a bunch of young pitching guys. This is one that might be still another year away. Not a very good grade towards the bottom of the starting pitching rankings. 11.42 ERA this season, and advanced metrics aren't that much better. So again, big edge on the Cubs. They should be favored. They are favored according to the model. They should be favored by a price of minus 126. The current price was minus 135. So unfortunately, they're favored by a little bit too much. But the plus 124 on the Mariners is not value either. So right now, no value on either side. There might be a play on the total on this come morning time. Might be a first five play. But for right now, going to pass, as the numbers just don't align for us to really love anything. That's all we've got here. If you haven't yet, again, check us out on Dub Club. A lot to like over there. All the starting pitcher changes, doubleheader stuff, right? We'll have you covered over there. All sorts of summaries, all sorts of information. Trying to give you as much value as you can possibly get for your money. And, of course, picks when you can't watch. So we don't want to watch the entire hour of the show. 10-day free trial on Dub Club. Link in the show description will get you there. Otherwise, though, best of luck betting this weekend. And remember, as always, can eat your betting money, but please don't bet your eating money.